It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Colossians, we are continuing our teaching series on the book of Colossians, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Colossians in the New Testament, founded indirectly by the Apostle Paul, and we know this based on his missionary journeys as outlined in the book of Acts, particularly Acts 16 verse 6, Acts chapter 18 verse 23, and Acts chapter 19 verse 10. Although Paul did not personally attend the Colossian founding of the church, his influence of touching a multitude of individuals for the gospel of Jesus Christ in that area allowed individuals to be gathered in the city of Colossae and found the church of Colossae. This is also evident in chapter 1, verse 7, with him who ministered to him, Epaphras, was the leader of the Colossian church. Scriptures teach that Paul spent years teaching in the school of Tyrannus in the city of Ephesus. Also, scripture teaches that Paul made numerous journeys in that area, influencing individuals by name throughout the New Testament scriptures, where these individuals founded, led, supported churches, all under the auspices of the conversion teaching of the Apostle Paul. This is the teaching on the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse number 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Here in verse number 1, there is instruction from Paul to employers, individuals that have the charge and accountability and responsibility over others. Paul is encouraging them to give them fair and just compensation, fair and just treatment, knowing that they are accountable to a master in heaven, and they will be answering to the Lord for their treatment of those given under their charge. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9 teaches, and ye masters or employers, do the same unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Once again, fair and just treatment, knowing that they are accountable to the Lord. Verses 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here in verse number 2, Paul is encouraging prayer, continuing in prayer. In the Pauline epistles, you will find scriptures where Paul is consistent in his encouragement, asking for prayer and prayer for the saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 teaches to pray without ceasing, unconditional prayer, consistent prayer, as spoken in Romans chapter 12 verse 12, where the scripture teaches continuing instant in prayer, always ready to have fervent prayer. Paul was a prayer warrior. This is prayer that is encouraged despite the circumstances and despite how long it may take for the prayer to be answered. Daniel chapter 10 verse 13 teaches that a principality, a demon, held back the prayer answer of Daniel for 21 days. As a result, even without results being instantaneous in our life, we are to continue in prayer. Verse 2 also speaks about having an attitude of thanksgiving and being vigilant. Jesus taught this same principle in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This word watch speaks of being vigilant, speaks of being persevering in prayer and watching for the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 teaches, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We ought to be on guard, watching over ourselves and our family by being vigilant. Scripture teaches there's a combination of watching and praying. Verse number 3 and 4 speaks of Paul asking for that prayer to open doors to get out the mystery of Christ, the gospel, this mystery that's spoken in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 and 10 is the mystery that God is now having the gospel to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 15 verses 9 through 12 teaches that the gospel is also not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. The Jews and Gentiles receiving Jesus Christ and being the church. This mystery that Paul is speaking of is the church, the Jews and the Gentiles becoming one body by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 5 through 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Here in verse number 5, Paul is encouraging them to walk in wisdom, to walk in prudence, to take the scriptures and apply them to their lives, to be led by the Spirit, to make prudent and wise decisions in their life, to redeem the time, to buy up every precious moment that has been lost through unbelief. Verse 6 speaks about our speech being with grace towards others, not being condemning or punishing, or judgmental, or putting others down, but seasoned with salt. In other words, our speech being tasty, making others thirsty for the Lord and for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that time comes for us to give an answer, we are ready. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 teaches, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Even if it's just our testimony, we ought to be ready to give an answer that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that God loves them, and that they can be forgiven and have everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 7 through 11. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Here in verse 7 and verse 8, Paul speaks of Tychicus, one of his most faithful and trusted servants. This individual was possibly the pastor of the church of Ephesus. This individual carried the epistles of the Ephesian church and the Colossian church with him to those churches. This individual was mentioned on Paul's missionary journeys in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, and also in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 22. Which states, "But that ye also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." As Paul was a prisoner of the Lord, he was unable personally to come at this time to different churches and sent his brethren, his fellow servants, with particular letters, with updates and information to the local churches. This is validated by Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 through 22. Verse number 9 speaks of Onesimus. This individual may also be the son of Philemon, as the letter was addressed also to him in Philemon verse 2. This was a runaway slave of Philemon, and he was also a native of Colossae, converted by Paul and sent back to be reconciled to Philemon according to the book of Philemon. Verse number 10 of Colossians speaks of Aristarchus. This individual was mentioned in Acts chapter 19, verse 29, as a fellow companion with Paul, persecuted with Paul along his missionary journeys. Verse 10 also speaks of Marcus. This is Mark of the Gospel of Mark. This is a young Mark who in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, was with Paul on one of his journeys, but left Paul to go back home due to possible fear and being homesick. This was Mark, who was the nephew of Barnabas. And in Acts chapter 15, Paul denied Mark an opportunity to go on another missionary journey with Paul. However, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, gives evidence that Paul and Mark was reconciled. "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Verse 11 speaks of a young man named Jesus who's called Justice. This individual, for obvious reasons, was not going to be called Jesus. Instead, he was called by his Latin name, Justice. This individual is possibly the individual mentioned in Acts chapter 18, verse number 7. Verses 12 through 14. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Here in verse 12, we have Epaphras as spoken in chapter 1, verse 7. This was a prayer warrior, faithful to pray for individuals in the church by name. This individual is most likely the one that helped found the church in Colossae under the auspices of the teaching and conversion of the Apostle Paul. Verse 13 speaks of his zeal for the church and for the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. These were geographical churches located 3 to 5 miles from each other. Laodicea, Hierapolis, Colossae, and Ephesus. They were all within a geographical proximity one to another, that they shared the same epistles, shared the same teachings, had similar converts that knew each other, and were united with the same doctrine and fellowship in the Lord. Verse 14 speaks of Luke, the beloved physician. This is Luke, the author of the book of Luke and the author of the book of Acts, traveling companion with the Apostle Paul, faithful disciple of the Lord and fellow servant with the Apostle Paul. Verse 14 speaks of Demas. This individual is mentioned as a fellow servant with Paul in the book of Colossians and in the book of Philemon, verse 24. However, this individual, Demas, here in approximately 64 AD, forsook Paul 5 to 6 years later in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 10. Scripture states, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Here there is clear teaching that it is not good enough to start, we must finish. Demas, 5-6 years after this writing in Colossians, left the ministry, left Paul, forsook the Lord, and went back to worldly living in Thessalonica. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 give warning that we are not to love this world system, this materialistic, carnal, sensual world system that will take us out of the will of God and cause us to backslide. Verse 15 through 17, 1 John chapter 2 states, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Once again, Demas started out with Paul in the book of Colossians, in the book of Philemon, 64 AD, 5-6 years later, approximately in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 10, he left the ministry, left the Lord, loved the world, and went back to Thessalonica. Verses 15 through 17. "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Here in verse 15, there's further greeting from the Apostle Paul. from one of the sister churches, the Church of Laodicea, one of the geographical churches, along with Hierapolis, Colossae, Ephesus, all know each other and share epistles and teachings one to another. Here in verse number 15, Nymphas is encouraged, has a church in his house, local pastor of a church in his house. In the early days of the church, there were synagogues for the Jews, and there was not churches built to approximately the 3rd century AD. In the meantime, Christians fellowshipped in local homes, and the homes served as the local church. Verse number 16 speaks of sharing the teachings with the sister churches. This church, Laodicean, is also written in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. This is taught as the lukewarm church, the church that was neither hot nor cold, the church that was comfortable. This Revelation chapter 3, written in the mid-90s AD, approximately 30 years after this writing in the book of Colossians. This tells us that the Laodicean church started out on fire with the Lord, loving the Lord, good fellowship, good teaching, but approximately one generation later, 30 years later, it became lukewarm. Once again, it's not how we start, but how we finish. Verse 17 speaks to Archippus. This was evidently the pastor of the church of Colossians, and he's given encouragement to continue his ministry. Pastors often get weary. Pastors, often the least ministered to, are often ministering to others. But who is encouraging the local pastor? Who is praying for and supporting the local pastor, ministering to the local pastor? Archippus is encouraged to continue the ministry. Jesus Christ taught this principle in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30, as a warning to finish what we start. Scripture says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Once again, in verse 17, Archippus, the pastor of the Colossian church, encouraged to continue and finish his ministry. Archippus is encouraged to finish what he starts. Verse number 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Here in verse 18, Paul writes his salutation in his own writing. Paul has a history in the epistles on dictating the letters to a local scribe, and the scribe would write the letter, and then Paul would sign it. This is evident in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 21, as Paul signs a letter with his own hand, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, which Paul signs with his own hand. Paul's letters and teachings were often impersonated and perverted by false teachers in the local churches. We know this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2, where Paul states that the Thessalonians be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us. As a result, Paul would often sign in his own writing his own salutation to authenticate the letter, to validate the letter against false cults that impersonate his teaching. Verse 18, Paul asked that they remember his chains, his bonds. Remember him in prayer. Remember him concerning aid that's needed towards him. Ending verse 18 with grace and the word amen, which means surely, truly. This is the teaching on the book of Colossians, chapter 4. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of rededication, this prayer of salvation. Won't you pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.